I want to introduce you to the area, kind of fill you in and geographically so you can understand where you are. We're standing right here at the barn, and so directly down the road and through the woods and across that yellow house over there, about three quarters of a mile, is the James River. The James River runs north and south here, and from here to the mouth of the river is about 40 miles. From here to Richmond is about 50 miles. And then if you went another 130, 140 miles west of Richmond, you'd come to the end of the James River watershed, which is right at the Virginia-West Virginia line. So a very large watershed, a lot of diverse agriculture, a lot of diverse land uses. But what we're here to do today is talk a little bit about this farm. And one of the defining characteristics of the farm is the predominant soil type here. And the predominant soil type is the Pamunkey series. And a couple of things about the Pamunkey series: got nice clays here that were deposited by the river. Very productive soil, got a lot of water holding capacity. And as a result of those things, we've had some pretty phenomenal yields that have come off of this farm. Dave Huell, the farmer who farms here, is with us today, and we'll be visiting his home farm here in a little bit. But to give you some examples about the yields, there have been a number of national yield contest contenders that have come off of this farm. But several years ago, we did a NCGA yield contest check here, and that was the first time that David had submitted a 300 bushel plus yield in the NCGA national yield contest. So, you know, when we talk about 300 bushels of corn coming off of dry land farm, we're talking about pretty good soils and also pretty good management. A number of soybean yield checks have been done here, wheat checks. So all in all, very good yields. The problem is that the farm here has been attacked with invasive species. If you look out over the farm here, you see a couple of heads out there that represent invasive species, the geese. But then probably the biggest invasive species, it lies just behind the trees over here. And if you look at the 2009 photograph relative to the 1994 photograph, you can see these invasive species which have rooftops associated with them. So the moral to that story is, if the soils are good for farming, the soils are good for other things too, namely houses. But the county, in its wisdom, put an easement on this farm, and so we feel confident that into the future the land use will be preserved. Now, while the corn yields and the soybean yields and the wheat yields are beneficial to the farmer here, the community may not really feel as though the productive soils and the things that are produced here are as important to them as they are to the farmer. But what we want to try to point out to you is that there are benefits that these residents in the local community here derive from this farm which are not yield-related, such as, you know, you think about this farm in close proximity to Jamestown. The Jamestown settlement, founded in 1607, is about a mile and a half right through the woods over here. So even though we talk about centuries of farming, you know, we're talking about centuries of farming here from an English-speaking standpoint, but the fact of the matter is centuries before that, the Native Americans were farming here as well. So there is a cultural heritage of farming here that is being preserved today. Does that benefit the landowners, the community? Maybe, maybe not, but certainly they are the beneficiary of these open spaces and vistas and being able to draw some connection back to agriculture. There are other benefits, too, that are more tangible. Because of the continuous no-till rotation and because of the crop rotation in which we're growing either three crops or four crops in 2 years, we have a tremendous amount of carbon that is sequestered in the soil. I'm not going to get up here and talk to you or ask you what your position is on global climate change, but the fact of the matter is that if we can put more carbon into the soil, increase soil organic matter, we increase the water-holding capacity, the nutrient exchange, all of those types of things, and that in and of itself is a benefit to the community. Finally, as Mary noted, stormwater and flooding, hard to believe we might be talking about flooding on a day like today in the summer we've had here, but the truth is that flooding in this area can be and has been a problem. Now, Mary said it's about 214 acres here. It's been in continuous no-till for over 20 years. We've got a double crop rotation. We've got macro pores in the soil. We've got organic matter that has increased over the years. And so this land acts as a 214-acre sponge whenever it decides to rain. All right. When we look at the same 214 acres of neighborhood over here with rooftops and driveways and sidewalks and such, that water is not treated when it falls to the ground. When that raindrop falls out here on this property, it is treated on the exact spot in which it lands. So we can mitigate our stormwater risks by having property and land managed in this fashion. The last graphic I want to show to you here, and it's a little bit busy for you guys in the back, but you're welcome to look at it. This is a map of the lower of Hampton Roads, and up in the upper left-hand corner, you see a little red dot. That's where we are. And so some 40 miles later, we get to the Hampton Roads, the mouth of the James River. We've got 16 urban localities represented in this map. Of those 16 urban localities, approximately 20% of the state's population lives right here. I would suggest to you that what you're looking at out here in terms of the rotation and the crop management and some of the equipment that you'll see that's used over the course of the day, we've got some of the most progressive agriculture in the coastal plain that is occurring right here. We've also got some of the most highly developed localities in that the county you're in today, right now, James City County, plus the one that we'll end in today, New Kent County, were in the top 50 counties across the nation in terms of growth in 2009. The top 50 counties in the nation in terms of the fastest growing counties. So we've got a lot of development pressure. And then we contrast that with the agricultural innovation that's going on here as well. The county we're going to go to next is Charles City County. Population there hadn't changed since the Civil War. Agriculture, forestry, those things rule the day in Charles City County. So here we have, rather than looking at two different entities that are butting heads and in constant conflict, we're trying to open the door to see if the two can work together. And so that's all I have.